The question was asked, what about lies that seem necessary? Isn't my baby the cutest? A pregnant wife asks her husband, have I gained any weight? Do I look fat? So I think we have to begin with a perspective. A person has to strive to tell the truth. We're going to learn that there are areas of leniency, but our first thought has to be, how can I tell the truth? What would happen if your wife says, do I look fat? And instead of saying, no, you don't, you would say, you know, you're gorgeous. Did you answer the question? Or did you just say she was gorgeous?
She's worked for a lot of women. But some of them will say, I didn't ask you if I look gorgeous. But you're right.
I'm saying, you have to first think, how can I say the truth? Meaning, a person will very easily think, well, mishanim mipnei shalom. In a second, we're going to discuss this concept that for the sake of peace, you are allowed to change things a drop. But that shouldn't be our first thought. Our first thought should be, how can I tell the truth? If you can say something along the lines of, you're beautiful, or something along the lines of, do you think anyone would notice that, you know, a pound here or a pound there, you're so beautiful? You can try to say the truth and still make the other person happy. All too often, people are quick to take that leniency of Mishanim Ipnei Shalom, when in fact they're doing it because it's very uncomfortable for them to deal with the repercussions of telling the truth. What would happen if a person would say, honey, you're pregnant, there's obviously your body's going to shift, and that's beautiful, that's wonderful, and you still look great. You know, is he better off saying, no, you didn't gain a pound? No, you know, she's got her stomach up to her mouth, but you didn't gain a pound. No one would know you're pregnant. Right? That's also not worth anything. So our first thought has to be, how can I tell the truth and find a way to make the other person comfortable or to make the situation into a good situation. The classical example is, you're coming home late and you promised your wife you'd be there on time. It's your wife's birthday and you forgot. You promised your wife you'd pick up bread for tomorrow morning's breakfast for the kids and you forgot. Now you got to face up to what you've done. You don't want to, right? So you come up with this easy excuse. You say, "Mishanim mipnei shalom." You know, I could say things a little differently in order to ensure there's shalom bias. So you tell your wife, you know, it's amazing what goes on in the makolet down by where I work. Before you know it, there's like no bread left. You can show up and you think you're there early, and everything's gone off the shelf. Did you say that you went and the bread was gone, right? I didn't say I went, you know. Come on. There are major issues with this because we have a long class on this titled Why Men Lie. And this is a broad topic. But in a nutshell, we can develop our own fantasy world by telling lies. What we're basically saying is, I'm not going to tell you the truth because I don't want your reaction. So I'm going to leave you out of this part of my life, and I'm not going to tell you what happened, and I'm not going to tell you I'm not telling you. So I'm just going to get out of it. Is that really for the sake of peace? How often is it really not for the sake of peace? It's the sake of my convenience. So yes, we have this concept where Mishanin Mipnei Shalom, you could say things differently for the sake of peace. There is such a concept. And if someone asks you, is the baby beautiful? So you say, yeah, he's gorgeous. And that's what Beis Hillel taught us when they said, Kala na'a v'chasuda. You say, the kala's beautiful. How often does a guy get a new cell phone and his friend goes, which one'd you get? And he tells you, and then you say, well, really? Did you know that? Now he's about to tell him which one he should have gotten. The Gemara says that's a person who's a boor. He doesn't understand how to be a part of society. Being a good friend is that if your friend got something new, you tell him how great it is. You help him be happy with what he got. And that's what our sages say, that's the given. Everyone knows that. The chiddush, the thing you have to realize is that even with his wife, you tell him she's gorgeous. Kalana ava chasuda. So the Talmud says, and what happens if she's not gorgeous? She's missing an eye. You know, she's yafe meod, gorgeous, gorgeous meod yafe. So maybe you meant she's gorgeous in her actions, in her attitude, in her demeanor, in her sense of humor. There are many ways a person can be gorgeous, but we all know that you're saying something that's a little different than the truth, right? There are times when that's what you should say. There are definitely times when that's what you should say. A guy once brought a girl to our house, and they were already engaged. It was a done deal. So I thought he was making the mistake of his life. But there was no room to tell him that then. He didn't ask me beforehand. He brought her and said, I want you to meet my new kala. Okay, mazel tov, I wish you well. What a great pick. Good for you. That's wonderful. Right? I almost burst out crying, but what can I do? Okay. Say that. When they left, so someone else who was there at the house at the time said to me, you really thought she was that great? She seems to me like A.B. I said, there's nothing to talk about. She's his kala. She's great. Come on. Okay, now is that really my opinion? Okay, now it is, right? So we learn it from that case with Beis Hillel. The Mishnah teaches us, Beis Hillel say, you meet someone's kala, you say nice things about her. That's his kala, that's your job. Kala nava chasuda, what we sing, right? That's a Mishnah. And yes, this does have room in halacha and in our day-to-day living, but we have to be very careful before we apply it. It's more common that people apply it for their own convenience, and that's how they slowly become liars. And then every situation will have that solution, and ultimately it backfires. Ultimately, it backfires in a big way. A person has to have a habit of telling the truth. I worked on this very hard. As a kid, I was a very good liar. Now, as a kid, it's easy, because you don't have that much in your life, so it's easy to remember and keep track. You guys probably know this, right? So you could keep it up. And at one point I decided, I'm changing. I'm going to be very careful to tell the truth. And I remember once, a few years down the road, someone asked me, you said such and such. And I looked at him and I said, I didn't say that because that's not what happened. And I thought back and I said, that's nice that I could say that. Right? I'm happy I got to the point where I could say, I didn't say it because it didn't happen. If that's not what happened, I wouldn't have said it. So we have to work to try and be accurate. And I had this week someone quoted me that I said something in the name of Rav Feinstein, and I said to him, look, I don't remember that being the case, but it's not that I remember it not being the case. I don't remember that. If you're telling me I said it to you, so then I guess that's what he said. But if you ask me now, I wouldn't know. I'll take your word for it. We continued the conversation. Later on in the conversation, I told him what I did remember, and that jogged his memory, and he said, right, that's what you said. It's the other way. It's not this way. So, okay, but I was ready to trust him. We have to work on it. It's a lifelong task, this idea of telling the truth. The more you get into the habit, the more careful you can be, and then you work harder at it. But it's work. It's hard work.